Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is my two favorite guests, hosts.
Guests?
I guess you would be considered hosts. Sarah yes. Wells and Jane.
You guess Boston. We'd be considered hosts? Listen, some of us have been here since day one.
You're train wrecking right now. Hey, I guess you're a host, Christian. I guess you're our friend, but more, you're one of our favorite guests.
I meant to say... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. My apologies. Yeah, my brain is in 12 different directions right now.
Okay. Well, pull it in, Christian.
I'm going to pull it together here.
As you were introing, I imagined us having a, you know, our intro music. What if we had it all vocal and someone just sings it? Because I thought, wouldn't that be hilarious?
Aka awesome.
If we had an aka awesome a cappella group sing it, it would mostly just be me.
Is that because everybody's all big on that Pitch Perfect movie?
Oh my gosh.
No, because acapella's been really big for a long time, and really big among, like, you know, nerdy choir people, but now it's getting, like, way more popular because of Glee and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, do you know, and what's that show that they do?
Glee?
Oh, yeah. No, no. Where all the groups
come.
Yeah.
The singing.
Sing-off.
Sing-off with Nick Lachey.
Yeah. Do you know every year there's a competition called the Boca Competition, Best of College Acapella? And the Boca CD is so good because every year they give you the best.
Sarah, we should start an acapella group.
I've wanted to start an acapella group for a long time, but not very many people would be into it.
There's this, the old church I went to, Twin Lakes, every year they do like a Christmas concert and they have this acapella group. Their name is Rescue.
Ooh,
and Rescue is like an all acapella Christian like worship. But they, you know, there's one guy that beatboxes in it and like... I'm personally not that into it. Like, I don't find it fascinating or even cool. But, like, my mother-in-law, like, and father-in-law, like, love this band Rescue. And whenever Rescue plays worship or has at the Christmas concert, like, they are so excited. Like, there's this guy that beatboxes. He's phenomenal. He's amazing. He's the most incredible beatboxer I've ever seen. It's like...
They're an acapella group?
Down. Yeah, Rescue.
Okay.
Maybe we'll play them on
I
the
feel like
cast.
I've heard them before.
I mean, they're talented. Super talented.
I love
super
it.
Good. Just not my... niche.
There's a
niche.
The school that I went to before Fresno State Masters, they have a group like that, and that's the whole reason I went to that school is because I wanted to be in that group. Then I stopped going to the school.
You in it at
you
all?
Couldn't you had to be in it as a sophomore. So I had a spot, but I didn't return.
Sarah, you should start an acapella group.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd just be called Sarah and the
the gang.
Capellas. The Aquabats.
Ooh, Aquabats.
Or no, Aqua. Aquabats.
The Aquabats. Kind of like Acrobats?
Well, there's a band called the Aquabats, so that's what they're yeah, that could be... I would listen to it only because you're in it, Sarah, but I probably wouldn't, you know, put it in my top 10.
It would fulfill an inner, like, joy in my heart if I got to be in an acapella group.
It's like when I was in high school, if I was in a boy band, that would have filled an inner
Absolutely.
Joy within me.
Same thing. So. What is my thing? If I could open my own bakery, I would just... It would fill a passion.
If people
inside.
Could come in your home and you feed them.
Somebody asked me how much I made cupcakes last night for Rush, and they asked me how much for me to make them for
what
a work
kind did
event.
You make?
The ones I made for Blair.
Oh, they're really good.
Let me rephrase this. Myself and Lacey have been very addicted to Hallmark movies. We have the Hallmark channel and we like the Saturday night.
You should hang out with my
movie.
Dad.
Oh, yeah?
He does every week.
We watch it. We've probably watched the last 10, 12 movies. Yeah. Like, we're in for the year. Mm-hmm. Like, 2013 is all Hallmark year. But this last week's one, so actually 2 weeks ago, because this week wasn't a new one. It was an old one that they replayed. Mm. But it was about this woman who lived in, like, New York, and she was rich, and her husband was super rich. He was, like, a plastic surgeon. She made all this money, and her husband ends up leaving her, and she signed, like, a prenup, and she loses everything. But... she gets to work with her dad in this bakery, and she kind of rebuilds her life back together in this Aww. Bakery with her dad. And her dad's name is Patty. And so she makes these famous things called patty cakes, and the store, like, blows up, and, like, everybody, like, loves these patty cake things.
That sounds like a great
and
movie.
I was thinking, in Fresno, I feel like we don't have, like, a famous – we don't have, like, a bakery that everybody goes to. La
Chiffonos.
Boo. Chiffonos. Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know. There's
Chiffonos opened a second location, one in River Park.
Great Harvest Bread Co.
Yeah, but
that's
they're not
necessarily
like
bakery. Where's Schifano's in River Park?
Right next to Teaser.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where that?
They serve Santa
Nana's,
Cruz coffee there.
Ice.
What kind?
They're Santa Cruz coffee roasting.
Oh,
cool. So does Cup of Joy.
They do Verve.
Different coffee. But okay, so that place looks pretty good. Is it pretty good? The Schifano's?
Oh, their chocolate cake is like
you remember
to
you
die
and I,
for.
We went and got a peanut butter chocolate cupcake.
Yeah, on National Cake Day.
National Cupcake Day,
I
yeah.
think at this point, people have pretty much tuned out of the show. No? Yeah,
you probably.
Okay. Well, we've got some fun stuff for you guys on today's episode. We're going to be talking about the sermon discussion about Leviticus. We missed Exodus, so we'll talk a little bit about Exodus, but then kind of go right into Leviticus for our generation series. We're also going to interview our producer, Andrew File, about
his very recent trip to Guinea-Bissau.
And then we'll close out the show after that, but... Now, don't kill me, okay?
Oh, no.
But Sarah gave me music selection
this
week.
This is what happens.
Sarah, you did?
Yeah.
That's true. She came to me first, but I have zero time.
I feel like I'm doing a decent job here. But there is my probably third.
We're going to lose like 50 listeners.
Third all-time favorite band. There's O-Town. There's New Found Glory. And then there's my
Yellow Card.
No, Yellow Card's probably in the top 10. But, okay. There's a band. Have you guys ever heard of Under Oath?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to play Under Oath on this show, but I took out all the screaming parts.
Yeah,
there's no screaming.
Aren't they a little hard?
There's no screaming in any of the songs we're playing. One of them is a tribute song to them that's just violin. And we're going to be talking about violin a little bit later.
Yes, how fitting.
All right, let me just explain.
Whoa.
They're done. It's been like, I feel like, 16 years or something they've been together, and they just finished up their final tour, final concert. It's very sad for us Under Oath fans, because when I was in high school, I went to like 15 of their shows. I loved them so much, but they have sadly broken up. Not broken up, but just ended their, probably time to get a real job, I would maybe think. So we're going to play some of them, but don't judge me, people out there. It's not going to be very hard. Sarah gave me free reign with music.
I did. I almost gave you like some parameters. Like, I'm going to let you choose between these five bands.
Well, the violin that we talk about later in the show, I thought, well, what violin do I have on my computer? Then I thought, okay, well, let's do Under Oath. So, okay. Fair?
Fair.
Hey, this is your one shot.
All right. Well, hopefully I don't blow it. Well, stay tuned for some sermon discussion on Leviticus. And enjoy some Tame Under Oath.
So, obey these laws, the Big Ten that Moses gives. Obey these laws. What immediately follows the giving of the law? We studied it last week. What immediately follows in the first five chapters or seven chapters of the book of Leviticus? Offerings. Obey these laws. But I can't. I know. So offer. Because I know you can't, I didn't give it to you because you could. I gave it to you so you'd realize you can't and you'd need to bring an offering all the time. Otherwise, verse 2, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? If these sacrifices that they offered, the burnt grain, peace, sin, guilt offering, even the Day of Atonement, if those dealt with the sin issue, why would they keep offering them? They didn't deal with the issue. They atoned for the issue. Atonement is very specific. It means to cover. The concept is that the Old Testament sacrifice were not redemptive. They kicked the can down the street a little bit, but they never dealt with the root issue. They covered it. Then you sinned again. You needed atonement to cover it, 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 to cover it. Then Jesus comes along. When John sees Jesus, what does John say? Behold the Lamb of God who covers the sins of the world, who takes away the sins of the world. That's why every Jew who heard him say that said, I'm sorry, what? Did you just say takes away? Because everything they grew up in never took away. It covered.
To cover it. To cover it.
To cover it. To cover it.
Hey, well, that was a clip from Brad's sermon this past week on Leviticus. And yeah, this was a really good sermon, I thought. I loved it for many reasons. One, it pointed back to the gospel.
Yep.
Two, what was funny is I was sitting at Fig and I didn't see there was a communion table up in the front. Because when you sit at Fig, you're kind of, you're not at an angle where you can actually see if there's a communion table or not. And I was leaning over to Andrew File, who will be in our next segment. And I said, dude, no communion. This would be like perfect service for communion. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, it's weird. Super weird. And then like, I'm not thinking of it. And then Val comes up and gives a like speech about communion. I'm like, oh, maybe there is a table and I just didn't see it, but kind of the perfect sermon for communion totally. As a whole.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll just give a little kickback to Exodus, which is a great setup for Leviticus. And Brad kind of gave a little nod to Jared, but the whole thing was it's these, basically these Egyptians or these Jewish people coming out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And now the tough part is getting Egypt out of them.
Yeah.
And so you guys know the story, the Prince of Egypt, all of the above. A lot of that takes place in the book of Exodus, mm-hmm. Moses and that kind of journey of them getting out, the Red Sea parting, all of that. Then they are in the desert. And now they kind of have to set up, would you call them rules or... You know, things,
regulations.
Yeah, regulations in a sense. And if you look at your chart, it separates the first, I believe, 15 chapters mm-hmm. as kind of here's some things to obey. Here's some sacrifices that you need to make.
Offerings
that you need to make. Then it talks about in chapter 16 of Leviticus about atonement and kind of what atonement is. And I don't know if you guys follow the life group guides at all. No?
Yes. No.
Well, one of the things in the life group guide is you're supposed to read through chapter 16 of Leviticus, and it's basically Aaron basically atoning for his sins. And it's this very repetitive, like, do this, you've got to do this, I've got to kill mm-hmm. this, I've got to offer this. And it's just almost like, geez, my knees, like that is like crazy that you would have to do that to atone for your sins. But as Brad said in the clip, it's just multiple cover-ups of sin. It doesn't mm-hmm. actually take away
totally.
The sins. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the setup for the book of Leviticus. What were some things you guys got out of it? Jane, I know you took a bunch of notes there. Or you're just playing bike race, one of the two.
Yeah, I'm totally playing bike race. No, I loved it. And I've talked to multiple people who are like saying how well Brad like presented everything mm-hmm. to... I mean, I like the book of like
It sounds like you really like it.
I like the book of Leviticus, but he really talked about it in a way that a lot of people were like, gosh, I actually kind of am thinking about going and reading it.
Yeah.
So, because it's so much law, offering, everything you have to do, who you are, whatever. But
Leviticus is actually a book that makes me kind of laugh. And there's a lot of things in there that are like, mildly inappropriate. I mean,
mm-hmm. totally.
And it's just like, it's funny to read it. I mean,
like the cleanliness chapters,
the bodily fluid
ones.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of us Christian guys, like we would, there's this joke that I've said to Andrew File for years that I think we should do, but Dave Obwald has these, scriptures up in his office.
Oh yeah, I've seen
and them. Dave Oswald is nicest guy, but he doesn't look at his scriptures in his office. Like they're just, he put them up there one day and they're just there. Mm-hmm. I think they should take the same photos, but of some scriptures in Leviticus and put them in place.
Just to see if he notices.
Just to see if he ever notices bodily fluid. Uh-huh.
That'd be
like,
so funny.
I mean, Leviticus is funny because it's like, this is insane at how crazy they are about rules and laws and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
Keep going, Jane.
So a couple things that I really loved was when he talked about the reason why God created the tabernacle was because they needed it, and he didn't need a place to be worshipped. He didn't need a place to be, but it was something that they needed, a tangible thing for God. Like they needed that. And just thinking through like how, like part of me went like, yeah, but I wish I had that too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, I know that my like faith now is like so much more, we have so much more freedom, but there's times when I'm like, I just wish like I could see God. And I know that there's ways that the Lord shows himself to mm-hmm. me, but sometimes I just wish like he would just show up one day, or like when I'm like making a decision, be like, this way, Jane, you know? And like, I totally get that the Lord can speak through different things, but for him to like be right in front of me would be totally different. So like, I loved the picture too of how like he was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, right, yeah. And like how Brad had said that the lesson that taught them was every morning, look to God and obey what he, mm-hmm. what he tells you. If it's we're staying here today or we're following him today, then that was just a really cool picture for me of like a good reminder of every day. Like, yeah, I don't have a cloud that follows me around, but like, or fire, but just the realization of like, okay, Lord, where are you guiding me today? How is your Holy Spirit going to speak mm-hmm. to me and guide me? And really remembering that.
I was about to say it and you said it, but like, I think those clouds and those pillars of fire is the Holy Spirit.
Totally,
inside of us
for
nowadays.
Sure.
And I don't think they really knew what that was.
Yeah.
And I don't think they really had an understanding of the Holy Spirit or anything
yeah,
like that.
For sure.
Well, it didn't indwell them like yeah. it does us now.
Sure.
But it was, again, another like tangible thing.
Sure.
And I feel like lately I just wish that we had those things sometimes.
What makes Leviticus kind of like, it's cool to read, you hear about these things, but it's also a little bit sad is God gives them all these tangible things and yet they still go to other gods and
for
to
sure.
other mm-hmm. idols. And it's like, God can only do so much before sin creeps in. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I've set up a tabernacle, I've got this pillar of fire and this cloud, and yet you guys are still worshiping other gods. You're still screwing up royally. And that's why he's got to set some of these things in place, you know?
Yeah.
And, I think once people start atoning for their sins and having to do all these offerings and sacrifices, they're constantly reminded of, oh yeah, like God is in this picture and I need to turn my life towards him or else I have to do all these things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
That's was something that I pulled out of last night was you couldn't just ignore your sin and hide your mm-hmm. head in the sand. Like, mm-hmm. I know that's a problem in my life, but I don't want to deal with it right now. Like we can do that today. They couldn't because they had to sacrifice things, and if they ignored it for too long, God would probably like swallow them into the earth. Mm-hmm. So like in some regard I'm almost like envious of that, because then I would be forced to deal with stuff instead of like just ignore it. I'll deal with that one day or I'll whatever. But yeah,
we talked about the you know, the kids, if you ever obey your disobey your parents,
yeah.
you'll be killed. And just the thought process of like, we have so much freedom nowadays to screw up and to sin and to disobey our parents or whatever. But if there was a mandate in the world or whatever, if mm-hmm. one kid, you know, mouthed off to their mom or dad, like, and they died, I think plenty of kids would be like, I got it. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think in today's world, we have so much freedom to sin versus mm-hmm. them, like there's a lot at stake for them to sin mm-hmm. and there was a lot more cookie cutter, like do this and don't do that mm-hmm. and so it was a lot more rigid, and yet What's funny is we have now more freedom in our lives, and yet we take advantage of it more today for versus them.
Yeah.
And who are those two guys?
Nathan and Abihu.
Yeah. And they basically took advantage of this whole, you know, rules and regulations, hoping, well, God's not going to see. They're the ones that kind of shoved it off to the side. And God was like, nope, I noticed. Sorry, buddy.
Isn't it crazy? Like, all three of us are kind of like leaning towards in a sense, like, we wish there kind of was more law.
Yeah. Well, I wish that there was more, real consequences to, like, because some sin doesn't really affect anyone else. So no one, I'm not really, there aren't big consequences externally, like, but there's consequences with me and the Lord. Like, I'm not going to go get burned up.
But you're looking for, like, cut and dry rules.
Oh, yeah. I love cut and dry rules.
Because go.
No, you go for it.
I kind of wonder if it's because we're all really hyper sisters and we like the black and white instead of the gray.
I like to know what's wrong and what's right so that I know where to go and where not to go. If it's gray, I have no idea what to do. Because
that's where I'm at too, of like, I just wish I would know, like, I mean, lines, like even going through relationship stuff with my WSM kids of like, how far is too far? How much can I drink? And well, obviously not them, but like conversations with friends or even my own conviction, like how much can I drink and get away with it, or can I go drink in a bar or no, like what's right, what's okay and what's not okay. I feel like there's so many things that I just wish there was a straight answer of, Jane, you can have this many drinks until you need to stop. Do you know what I mean?
And then we wouldn't, but with rules, I'm sorry,
I totally see what you're saying. And I understand the black and white, the persister side of it. But I think when you don't have the freedom and you place rules on things, I think natural sin tendency, as we see with Eve, is that it's much easier for Satan to creep in versus when we have the freedom. I think we can make the conscious decision. But like, I think if you're given a rule, don't eat that apple, and somebody says, the apple's pretty good. You know what I mean? It's like, well, maybe the apple's kind
of good. You're
going
to focus on the one thing you can't do instead of everything you can.
And that's, you know, a kid, you've ever seen the marshmallow test of don't eat this marshmallow on the plate. If you can wait 10 minutes not to eat this marshmallow, I'll give you another marshmallow.
Yeah.
But then the temptation is like, dude, I really want to eat this marshmallow. Mm-hmm. And it's the concept of like, I'm thankful for my freedom, because when I make a right decision, a decision that I feel like glorifies God, it makes the gospel, it makes Christ, it makes this Old Testament all that much better for me. But I do understand it's nice to have the rules and I think the regulations, but I think that society needed it so badly. You know, and Brad talked about, it's people just dealing with sickness. What do you do with them? Mm-hmm. Like, get them out of your town. Get them out of the area. Like,
those things are totally practical.
Sure.
But now it's like, we're supposed to live holy. And people saying, well, then what's holy? You're supposed to live to glorify Christ. Well, what does that look like? You're supposed to give him your whole life because that's what he's done for you. Well, what does that look like? You know? Yeah. And having conversations with people even yesterday, it's like, okay, I know I don't have these rules. I know I don't have these regulations. I know that I don't have to live under the law anymore, but how do I live to please God? And it's like, love God, love others. What does that look like? And just like explaining those things where to some people, they can't understand. So I feel like in those conversations it would be so much easier to be like, here's a list that you can do and here's a list that you can't do, so like just don't screw up. But then that just takes
I don't think that works in a society nowadays, and I don't think it worked back then either.
Well, and it's different now because we have the Holy Spirit, so they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside each and every one of them to help them make decisions, and we do. So
people already turn it into that. I mean, we make up our own do's and don'ts. There are plenty of Christians out there that would say drinking is a sin. Smoking a cigarette is a sin. And other people would go, I think the complete opposite. So we make up our own rules of do's and don'ts. That's why I think in the anatomy of a disciple, morally discerning is such a key area of like, man, you've got to figure this out according to where you're at being biblically formed, where you're at in your humble submission to God. And if you feel like those two areas are strong and you can make a morally discerning decision that this is an okay venue to drink at, then drink.
But it's like you have your own convictions, but then on top of that, you have to keep everybody else in mind.
Totally.
So it's like, yeah, maybe you can go to a bar and have a drink, but then you run into Sarah who struggles with that or whatever, just using that as an example, obviously. And it's not like, an example.
Sarah, you want to open up?
And Sarah's like, okay, Jane's having a drink at a bar, so I guess that's okay for me to do too.
But then that ties into the First Corinthians, you know? You don't need to, maybe you do it in the context of your own
home. Rid of, or be fine to let go of your right.
Sure. And I think that I'm only pushing back, Jane. I totally see what you're saying. I just don't know if. Yeah, I think that Christ, there's a reason behind it. Paul, in all of his letters, never gives us cookie cutter things like we've talked about in here before. Like, we wish Paul would say, do this and don't do that. But the reality is, I don't know if I wish that. I think there's a part of me that might desire that, but if we had that, I think I would push against that.
I think I'm just coming off of conversations from yesterday and just thinking like it would be so much easier to talk to this person and help them.
If you had a book of rules.
Yeah, because I mean, as much as I love that I do have freedom and that the Lord's given me that, to tell that to somebody who's immature in their faith, it's hard for them to understand.
And we do have to remember that there are many explicit things, not, I don't want to say rules, but explicit guidelines in the New Testament that I think sometimes we do brush over. Like one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. If you can have one glass of wine and say you are just as much in control of yourself as you were before, then you'd have to answer that honestly with yourself, you know, or, you know,
I thought the self-control thing had to do with the tongues in church. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Did Brad make a mention of that?
In the fruit of spirit?
Yes.
Well,
there's other verses that talk about God, the spirit is, with self-control. But anyways, there's lots of things that are very explicit. And I think a lot of the things that he talks about in the New Testament, the explicit directions deal with the heart of the issue, may not be like the specific, like how do I react or how do I interact with a boy on Facebook? Well, that's obviously not going to be in the Bible, but the heart of your motives, that's in the Bible. So what's your motive with talking to that guy on Facebook?
For sure. Yeah.
So there's a lot of digging that you have to do, and then you can apply it to the outer like
rings.
Things that are, yeah, a little more removed. But yeah, I think they are pretty explicit about a lot that we forget about. But there also is a lot of gray, so I hate the gray.
And to kind of maybe close up and even
we didn't really talk about Leviticus.
I think we always just go in whatever direction we're going.
I had one. Can I say one thing before we end Leviticus?
You want to announce your drinking problem?
No, I don't have a drinking problem. If I'm going to announce anything, it'd be that I have a sugar eating problem, because that's true. Okay, one of the greatest, I think, examples of Christ in Leviticus was in chapter 17, that he didn't read it, but I read it earlier. And it says, okay, it's actually talking about you're not supposed to eat blood, so you're not supposed to eat like a bleeding animal. You can't be a vampire. Because he says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you. I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the life. So I feel like that's so important, because it's Christ's blood that saves us. Mm-hmm. And it is only by his blood that we are saved, not by his flesh, by his blood. So anyways, I just thought that was so cool. They talk about that in Leviticus.
That is cool.
I think that ties into everything that Brad kind of said in the sermon clip in the beginning, of just like this atonement for Leviticus was just covering up things. And we make fun of it in the beginning, but it really is just cover up after cover up after cover up. And that's why when John goes, this guy is going to take away the sins of the world, it's like the weight of people, the weight of their sin is just lifted off their shoulders is so powerful. And
I never heard that before, and my brain exploded.
Well, it's just really like, imagine generations and generations and generations of family offering sacrifices, offering sacrifice, offering sacrifice, covering up. And then there's one guy that dies and says it is finished. And it's like, I mean, it's just got to be like the most freeing thing ever. Yeah. And I think that's such a powerful reminder of like who Christ is, and that he's able to do that, that God, you know, sent him to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why I think Christ's story is so powerful when read in the context of the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. And when you skip through the book of Leviticus and you skip through chapter 16 and 17, because you're like, this is boring, then it doesn't make what John says as powerful. It doesn't make Christ's death as powerful. It doesn't, you don't catch the lamb imagery, you know, it's mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. It's just, it makes everything come to life. As when you read Hebrews 10, like Brad did in a sermon, mm-hmm. it really makes Leviticus come to life a little mm-hmm. bit. And mm-hmm. it makes people want to read the book of Leviticus because they go, dude, how did I miss this? How did I not get this? You know, and I think that my hope in this whole series, and this was the first one where I really felt it, but my hope is that each sermon would point ultimately back to Christ mm-hmm. and ultimately back to the story as a whole, instead of like, here's an individual book mm-hmm. and it doesn't tie into anything else, you know?
And I hope it gives people more clarity of what the gospel actually is, because I feel like our culture says what the gospel is like, oh, God has a wonderful plan for your life, period.
Yeah.
Like, well, that has nothing to do with Jesus. And I, you know, we've heard that on TV or whatever, and this is really what the gospel is that atonement needs to be made for your sin, and Christ did that. Mm. And that's, so I don't know, I just hope that it's making a more complete view of what's really going on, and not a watered down view.
Because Brad had said, like, we're still trying to offer our good works. Oh, for, yeah. And it's not about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so crazy.
Well, we hope you continue to listen to the Generation series, and we'll hopefully bring you more interesting things to chat about. Up next, we got Andrew File on the show, and enjoy some Under Oath. All right, we are back, and we are here with Andrew File, producer Andrew. How are you?
Good.
I feel like you were here not too long ago, right?
I think the last time I was here, I talked about
going to Guinea-Bissau. And now you are back from Guinea-Bissau.
He's made it.
I was trying to do the write-up for this thing, and I literally thought, I have no idea how to spell Guinea-Bissau. And like when you type it into Google, like, I tried to type in like guinea, and it came up as guinea pig.
It's not spelled the same way as guinea pig though, right?
Bissau is Bassau, but there's a dash in between the two.
Yes, okay.
So for those who may, you know.
So what's a Bissau?
What's a guinea? I mean.
Yeah, well, there's another country called Guinea, and then there's Guinea.
Papua New Guinea.
And then there's Papua Guinea.
Wow.
There's a couple guineas.
Super popular.
Yeah.
Now, we have a couple new listeners after our, you know, our big bucket breakout. And after the bucket.
Do we have new listeners?
I would say our listeners / subscriptions have gone up since the bucket. So with that is, you know, many people may not know, but Andrew is our producer. He gives me plenty of feedback, and he tells me what we're doing wrong and what we're doing right.
He tells you what we're doing right? Mostly
what we're doing wrong. But he might go, hey, that was good stuff. You know, but
here's the 10 things you...
Yeah, here's the 10 things.
Hey, but one compliment goes a long way.
Yeah, you've gotten a lot, or maybe we've gotten a lot better.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Now, let's say a month ago, 2 months ago, came in here and talked about going on this mission trip with Guinea-Bissau with Waves. And
what does Waves stand for again?
West African Vocational School.
Okay.
Right. And Chris Collins, who's a guy who's been going to the well for a really long time, he is a missionary out there, correct? Mm-hmm. And so what did you guys maybe fill a little bit of a recap? What did you guys go out there to do? What did you set your sights on to do out there?
Yeah, I think a part of it was, so we wanted to take a team to check out what they're doing in Guinea-Bissau, mm-hmm. And see if this is something that the well wants to be a part of long term. And so for us, it was kind of an exposure trip and an investigative trip to see what they were doing. We also had some folks that were very intentional that were going to do some stuff for the organization. So somebody, we wanted to see if there was somebody that could do some tech kind of computer things. Pat Dill, who works at the well, he does all the video things you see.
Right.
He also was, they actually, the Waves, the organization, paid for him to go out there and to do some video stuff for them, to do some interviews and create a kind of promo video for them. And so
now I heard through the grapevine that there was a music video you guys shot out there. Yeah. Is this correct? Yeah. Okay, so maybe explain this, 'cause this is
you
funny.
Mean you saw through Instagram?
I don't know. Did I see it through?
Don't you follow Pat on Instagram?
I think somebody else. Maybe you just told me about a music video.
Instagram is the modern day grapevine. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Totally. So Patrick Contreras, who is a violinist in town, he does shows. He does. He's actually a violin teacher. He, mm-hmm. if you guys haven't heard of him, go check him out. He's really fun. And I mean,
has he ever heard of the band Yellow Card?
Oh yeah. He does that kind of stuff. So he does dubstep violin. So like,
oh, wow.
How do you do that with a violin?
It's pretty mind blowing. So if you type in like Patrick Contreras on YouTube, he has like a couple of his videos have gotten about 70,000 views, and he's been featured on like rap sites. And
wow.
So he's a pretty big deal. Like he's legit. And he has gotten connected with this organization. He's played at a couple of their benefit concerts.
Okay.
And so he came out, and then as you know, I was thinking about him coming out, they decided, hey, let's do a music video. So he did a couple things at the church, a couple dubstep things, but then I think the video they're going to go with is Hallelujah, and he plays it on his violin. And it's
like
just,
the Jeff Buckley song?
I'm not going to sing it. It's just that, yeah, like Hallelujah. That class. Yeah, yeah. I know Michael W. Smith did it back in the day.
Yeah,
what?
You know. So it's gonna be Pat's working on that. So
nice. And the point of that is more not for Waves necessarily, but it's for Patrick himself.
I think it's to raise awareness about Waves. Yeah. So
okay.
It's something that they could put out there that I think anybody could really move them. You know,
this is like really corny to say, but. Oh gosh!
Can't
Mercy
wait.
Me.
Committed.
Have you ever heard of Mercy Me? Yes. They came out with a music video a couple of years ago, and it was them singing one of their songs of the new album. But they did it in coordination with I think like World Impact or like sponsor a child type thing.
World Vision,
yeah. And what it did was they get a music video for their song, but it also brings awareness to like, hey, you need to sponsor a child.
Yeah,
hit two birds with one stone.
Something kind of like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Sarah McLachlan singing for
the joking throughout the whole trip. It's like we're just gonna like in between the videos, like there's just gonna be
like
dogs,
a kitten,
you know?
A poor sweet kitten.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I'm sorry I'm on this, but it really does fascinate me. I heard you talking, I think, to somebody in the office, just like people were fascinated by the fact that this guy was good at violin, right?
They've never seen anybody play violin. They obviously have seen it in a video.
Sure.
Or, you know, but they were just like, I mean, they were like, what is this? And he's so good that they were just mind blown. And everybody was like, give me lessons. Teach me. Like,
wow.
What is this? And he is here in Fresno. And he can't get anybody that's in their 20s that care about the violin.
Sure.
And, you know, it's either little kids or old people that love the violin.
Or Yellow Card fans.
Yeah. I have a friend who plays the violin.
Yeah. But they probably picked it up as a kid.
Sure.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he had like 20-somethings that were just like, this is like cooler than guitar. You know?
Sure.
Right.
So he was loving it.
So awesome. As a whole,
super hipster.
You guys obviously did this music video, but there was more to it than just that.
Yeah, a lot of it really, you know, when you talk about exposure trip, the idea is to be exposed to what's going on and what God's doing. And so we had a lot of meetings with, we met with people in the finance department of Guinea-Bissau. We met with this famous musician.
Wait, the finance department of the country?
Yeah, like we met
with
a lot of...
How large is the country?
1.4 million, 2 million.
How did you get an appointment with the finance department?
Well, honestly,
just call their secretary.
Yeah. Hey, Guinea-Bissau, I'd like to come meet with your finance department.
I'm certain it's probably a little not run like Fresno or.
Yeah, the country honestly is like it's the 11th least developed country in the world. Okay. So. If you are doing something positive and doing development work, like you're of a small minority of people, like
sure,
even of international organizations, there's like two, like the UN and a couple of organizations, and that's it. Because it's the country itself is like it literally looked like a war zone. Like roads haven't been developed since the 70s. No infrastructure, corruption like crazy. Like if we were gonna take an hour and a half like car ride, we got stopped 11 times by military, then the police, then customs, like, and you gotta bribe everybody.
Oh, as I say, you pay them off.
Yeah.
Where in Africa is Guinea-Bissau?
So if you're like looking on the west side, it's like on, is it kind of loops around? Yeah. It's right there. So
is it close to Liberia?
No, it's more like there's like Senegal, and there's a couple like Burkina Faso. It's a bunch of there's really small Gambia.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's like it's a country not a lot of people are doing anything in. Mm. So that's part of the like challenge of it. But then that's why Waves is also really exciting because nobody's doing anything in Guinea-Bissau. Like
sure,
Chris has this funny thing that he has on their website, which is waveschools.org. And during the Olympic ceremonies, as Guinea-Bissau is coming in. You know, everybody on Twitter is like, Guinea what? Like, who is it? That doesn't exist. You're making this up, you know?
Sure.
And so nobody knows about it, and few countries or a few organizations are working there. So
that's cool.
So if you want to meet with somebody, they're like, yeah, let's meet. Let's get together and let's chat. Mm-hmm. So had some really fun meetings with pastors, and that was a lot of the trip for us was meeting with the school, with what they're doing, which do you mind if I just describe what they're doing? What actually Waves is doing.
I do mind. So
I don't mind.
I just figured I hadn't even said what they do.
No, I keep go for it.
So yeah, so Waves, what they do as West African vocational schools, what they do is they are a Christian vocational training school. So they're doing computer classes, English classes, auto mechanics classes, sewing and welding. And so the point is to give them actually like marketable skills. So the school systems are terrible. You go to school, if you're in high school from like 8 to 11, and that's it. And, you know,
that was pretty, my senior year.
Yeah. Pretty, you know, not a lot of training, nothing's really applicable, not a lot of jobs, not a lot of economy. And so they're trying to give them actual something they can make some money with. And through a Christ-centered perspective. And so all the teachers are Christian and they share the gospel and really awesome. So we met with a lot of the teachers, the principal there, a lot of the students. We also met with students that have graduated and are now making money through sewing people's clothes or this guy set up a little cell phone shop because everybody in Africa has cell phones. So he's like selling cell phones and
no one has refrigerators, CDs. But they have cell phones.
Exactly. It's crazy. Everybody does their banking on their cell phone.
Wow.
And so
what's the religious like environment or atmosphere there?
In Guinea-Bissau is half Muslim, but only like part of the country is. So we weren't in that part of the country. So a lot of it was just animist and there's a little part of Christian. So
animist.
Yeah. Animist is like, it's not anime. It's like
Pokemon.
It's basically just like spirit worship. So like, you know, you got to appease the spirits. There's witch doctors. So like we in the center of town, right off from the center of town, there's this area where you buy your goats and your pigs to go to the witch doctor and to appease these spirits and a lot of like cultish, you know, we would just call it cult in America. But
it ties right into Leviticus.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
They're still like, doing some of the things that people did in the Bible.
Yeah, you like know. You'd sacrifice. See a goat outside somebody's house and you're like, ooh, that's going bad. You know,
so
we heard a couple of ceremonies going
that
on around
so
us.
So scary.
Like witch doctor stuff. Yeah. So and then there was a church. There's a lot of churches in the area, which a lot of the churches practice a lot of the animistic stuff, even within a lot of Christians still practice that.
So their goal, I understand your mission trip's goal is to expose people. But I'm assuming you're not sharing the gospel 24/7, on your trip, or are you just by the way you guys live your life? What, like Are you trying to get them to see Christ, or are you just trying to help them get a better life in some senses?
I think those go hand in hand. So sure. For me, mm-hmm. I think development and evangelism have to go hand in hand. For us, we're really letting the teachers, waves, the teachers are doing that.
Right.
So I think they're living an authentic witness to Christ through, they may open the class with a devotion or, mm-hmm. you know, share their faith in however they desire. And so they're building long-term relationships with the students. So we honestly weren't like, it was kind of weird to be on a trip where you're not like serving or you're not doing anything. Yeah. We didn't build anything, but we're sitting in the English class and we're watching them teach the students. We're
sure.
You know, we're hearing from the students. So a lot of it for us was listening so we can take back what Waves is doing and try and get more folks in the States to give and to get involved with like amazing work in a really challenged country. And and just, you know, I think what I learned a lot of too was God's heart for the oppressed, God's mm-hmm. heart for those that just have no opportunity. It's like, I just kept being thinking, it's like, what if I was born in Guinea-Bissau? I got the roll of the dice and I got to be born in America. But that's not the case for everybody. So
sure.
How can I use my privileged position for others?
I'm pretty sure that's not how God works. He rolls the dice, but you know, maybe.
Andrew, where do we want to put him?
Yeah.
America. No, I lucky think that, guy.
That what you just said, that piece is essentially one of the main reasons why we would always encourage people to do an exposure trip is I joke about the roll of the dice, but really you think about it, just other countries, different cultures. You're like, one, Sarah talked about this a little bit on her mission trip, just in the sense of we feel like we can share the gospel in another country, but in the United States, we don't mm-hmm. really ever share the gospel. But the other side of it is why do we get to be the lucky ones or whatever, you know? And why aren't we trying to get more countries what we have in some senses? So I think that's the point of exposure trips, right?
Yeah, and the point's not to get them to, you know, like money's not going to solve the issue or
right.
these things. It's a lot of it, and that's why I love like a community developed mindset that gives them skills mm-hmm. because they get to make their own future instead
right.
of saying, this is like, we just want to give you our media or our money. Mm-hmm.
We want to come in and build a house for you.
Yeah, we're going to
let
say,
us fix your problem.
Exactly.
And it sounds like, yeah, because going in and seeing their needs is easier than talking to them on the phone and seeing what
yeah,
they
right.
need.
Now you were gone for 2 weeks, right? And you said 37 hours of travel both there and back.
Oh,
37 each way. Yeah.
37 each way.
Yikes.
Brutal, dude.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
Wow.
How long of that was in a plane?
See, our first one was 5.5 hours, 11 hours and 10 minutes, and 1 hour 45.
Jeez.
So the rest was driving, waiting.
Never mind. That's a stupid question about traveling. Do your feet swell in planes? My feet swell.
Yeah,
it's a stupid
about
question. But
my way there was really bad, but not come back.
Okay.
I get my fingers swell up. Like I have to take my ring off. Yeah.
Yeah.
They swell up.
I have to stick my feet up in the plane. I did that one time because they were so swollen and gross.
That's why you're supposed to walk around.
Yeah, I try and stand up.
Yeah. Okay.
One time I took
Brad just gets first class. That's what he does.
Yeah, I am first class. One time I was determined to sleep when I was coming home from Liberia, determined to sleep on my longest trip, my longest flight. So I took 2 Tylenol PM and 2 melatonin, and I couldn't sleep a wink.
And you had the worst.
And
feeling,
I'm like,
right?
My legs are just like dying. And I thought, all I want to do is just lay down in the aisle and uh-huh. sleep. I just wanted to lay flat instead of in a seated position.
See, I think people who take medicine on airplanes, subconsciously you think that you're going to fall asleep.
Oh, totally.
But you end up, your mind is tricking, basically going like, hey, I should be falling asleep. I'm taking this medicine. Why am I not falling asleep? And then you end up staying awake.
Yeah.
And then you're just drowsy
right.
and you can't sleep. So
yeah.
you're like being tortured almost. Yep.
But then I had like a 3-hour layover in, I don't remember where I was, but I zonked out.
One of the guys I went to Israel with told me, he said, stay up as, I mean, this is not 37 hours, this is 14 hours, but stay up as long as you possibly can. And if you stay up the whole time, it's better for your jet lag anyways. And so that's what I did. And like, I feel like I came back and it was like, oh, I'm refreshed. I'm good to go. Like, I didn't even need to sleep an ounce when I got back because I just kind of almost shocked my body into either staying awake, or I tried to stay awake so long that my body just naturally fell asleep on the plane. Mm-hmm. So now you came back Sunday, Saturday. Good to see your family.
Oh, it was so fun.
First time you've been away for that long?
Or? Yeah. Well, I not from my wife, but from my son. So he's 16 months. So I got to the airport. He just sprinted up to me and wrapped his arms. So it was like, oh.
That you
was,
posted that picture of FaceTiming and he was having a tantrum on the FaceTime. Yeah, that was really funny. Yeah.
Does he recognize, I mean, this is such a 2013 thing to say, but like, does he understand what's going on FaceTime?
Yeah, he understands I'm there, and like he would like try and kiss the phone.
Okay, so
but like to him, he wants to touch everything. So he would hang up the call constantly. Okay, so, you know, yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, if you just think of 8 years ago, well, I guess Skype was around, but 10 years ago, even like you could never do that type of thing, and so now you're physically seeing somebody. So the I feel like what's going on in a baby's mind is just like, what is happening? It's probably just blowing their mind.
Well,
right?
He probably felt like he was watching TV, though.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Totally. And dad's on TV.
Yeah.
What blew my mind is
he's talking back to you.
Well, what blew my mind is the fact that I'm in the middle of Guinea-Bissau, which is like a devastated country in rural like Africa, and I have internet.
Yeah.
So I can FaceTime in the middle of like the worst situation ever.
Sure.
And you don't have warm water.
And it was
for
faster
showers.
Than my dad's internet, you know, at their house. Like,
well, but that's I mean, the countries get things a lot of times backwards. They get all these things that they think is really important. Mm-hmm. But the reality, yeah, like Sarah said, maybe their water is not even hot, you know, so.
Yeah, they can't even drink the water.
But they have perfect internet.
They have no electricity. Like, yeah. It's all solar stuff. So, yeah, it's just, and I think it's a sign of how globalized our world is that I can be Facebook friends with these people in like Africa that, you know, anyways, so that's what blew my mind a lot.
This is how, like, I mean, this is where I'm at. I feel like with kids and all of the above, but Lacey was like, oh, was it so good to see Levi yesterday? And I was like, dude, how did Olive react? And Olive's his dog. And like, that was like what I cared about more. Like, was Olive excited to see you?
Was she?
My dog is just as excited for me being gone for 2 weeks as if I leave for 10 minutes. So I don't think she gets the concept of time. So yeah.
That was what was on my mind. Yeah. That was what was concerning me.
Yeah.
Is Olive all right? So, well, good trip all in all. Successful, you feel like?
Yeah, I honestly think it's one of those things that is an encouragement, like you said, for anybody. If you're thinking about it, go on an exposure trip with a well. I think you really just get to see God's heart for another nation, for people. It opens your mind to what he's doing, and it's exciting to, I think it really does change the way I live. And so those trips continue to shape me and who I think God wants me to be. And so I think an admonition for anybody listening is hop on a trip. I know we're going to South Africa,
Swaziland in May, and there's talks of other Africa trips later on in the year.
Yeah, and I've heard Thailand and maybe Costa Rica, Ecuador.
There's always a trip to Thailand in the works. Yeah, so if you want to go to Thailand, it'll come up in a month or two.
Yeah, so I just go to the Wells website, click on missions, and I think it's a great avenue to stretch your faith and just experience something different.
Well, Andrew, I appreciate you being on the show, and hopefully you listen to this episode and you provide us with zero feedback because you're on the show.
Be like, man, that guest,
he was amazing.
Good,
yeah. Well, dude, I appreciate it, and up next, we'll close out the show, but thanks again, Andrew, for being on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we are back, and we're going to close out the show here. Hopefully, Under Oath wasn't too bad, and hopefully you guys don't kill me after this episode. Maybe this will be the last episode I ever provide music for.
Next time I'm super busy, I'm just going to have someone else.
Next time I'm super busy, I'm just going to make time for it.
And next time I'm super busy...
Are you ever super busy?
Really?
I don't know. Are you?
Yes, he is.
You want to go down the road,
Sarah?
Sarah?
I'm not accusing you. I just don't know what you do. In your office.
He farts.
Probably.
I basically just sit there and do nothing.
With his head
I had
up
a kid on. Ask me at Winter Retreat with our high school kids, and this was like a sad thing because there's a big disconnect between what I do in the office versus what I do with high school kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so he was literally like, so what's your real job during the week? Like he thinks I work somewhere else. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I actually work at the Well. And he goes, so like, all I see you do is, you know, buy pizza for us and play games with us and stuff. I'm like, yeah, if you only knew, buddy. Mm-hmm. So,
I wasn't accusing you of not doing a lot of work. I just have never seen you super, super, and you just don't show it when you're stressed out. Let's say that.
There's a couple times when I've seen
you. Yeah, Jane's seen me pretty stressed.
I don't sit on your side of
the
office.
You also are on the other side of the office. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just see you when you...
He closes his door. You probably don't see him because he just hibernates in his office.
I do hibernate, yeah. Mm. And but one thing is, next week, if it works out, we're going to get a friend of all of ours, I think, Bo Williamson.
Hopefully. I mean, we got to push it back already the second time.
But Bo is a great, great guy. He's a leader in junior high, and I want to ask him a bunch of questions about his junior high life group. But also, he was a star in Mock Rock, and we need to get down to...
I feel like we should somehow
attach the photo of him.
Yes, I took it.
Okay, good. So,
and we should talk about Prop 37. Was that what it was?
No, I don't think Christian's going to want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. The one about the...
No hormones.
No hormones.
Oh,
So, yeah, I wouldn't want to talk about that.
Because Bo's a farmer.
Bo and I have actually had a conversation about that.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, as I'm dressed as a turkey, he's telling me why it's bad to put hormones.
Wait, I'm telling you this? No, Bo's telling you this.
No, Bo.
Okay.
Bo was, as I'm in my turkey costume.
It was just to address the fact that you were in a turkey costume. I mean, we can't let that slide.
All right, Jane, you said you had a spout out?
You also dressed up for a turkey for Halloween.
And we were roasting s'mores, so we kind of roasted a turkey, too.
Yeah, she was kind of standing a little close to the fire.
Gobble, gobble. Yeah, I have a spout out for a new... Hopefully, he won't be just a one-time listener. Garrett Benjamin, if you're listening, glad you made it through the whole show.
Yay, Garrett.
Did he hope promise you loved that he'd it because
I told him
89?
I told him that we are so funny.
I feel like we've been funnier.
Hopefully this episode was
Sarah's
really funny.
Very
Garrett.
Upset about our intro piece.
I'm not very. I'm sorry that it was boring. It was a little boring. It wasn't boring for us in here.
One of the things I've learned from podcasts of other major podcasters is that your show does not need to be the funniest show every single week. Your show sometimes can be run-ons about nothing for a long period of time. I think what is the key to podcasting is consistency. Mm. And so if you have a consistent formula throughout an episode, people are excited when there is a funny episode. But if the next three aren't very funny, that's still good because it's consistent along the way.
It's kind of like Seinfeld.
Sure.
They made a show about nothing.
Exactly.
Two guys.
And the Spoutcast is literally about nothing.
Friends is a show about nothing, too.
But Seinfeld literally started with the director saying, I want to make a show about nothing.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And
well,
Friends is also about nothing.
Yeah.
Find us on Instagram because we post a photo each week. We'll post a photo of Andrew's mission trip team. And
we should post photos throughout the week other than Mondays.
Well,
like,
if you guys want to be in charge of it.
We should post pictures of the hosts in everyday life.
I'll just post photos of my face every day.
Oh,
I got some great photos of Jane in here that she will not let me post.
Gosh, oh, that's true. It's
if
a good
you
one.
Ever post that picture.
All right, this is the spout.
And we are out.
So.